This podcast is for informational purposes only. Information relating to investment approaches or individual investments should not be construed as advice or endorsement. Listeners should seek professional advice for their situation.
Do you remember the BRICS? It's the acronym for Brazil, Russia, India, and China. In 2001, Jim O'Neill of Goldman Sachs minted the term. In his economic paper, O'Neill spoke about the rapid growth out of the emerging markets, and in particular, the BRICS. The term became somewhat synonymous with the emerging market investment opportunity. These countries had larger populations, were a younger demographic with a high savings rate and a growing middle class. They had the labor, natural resources, and capital to lead economic growth. This combination represented an attractive investment opportunity. So what's happened since then? I'm Philip Peterson, Chief Investment Strategist for IG Wealth Management. Join me each week as I discuss our views on the trends dominating the investment landscape. It's the week of July 25th, so listen on as we navigate the living market. Let's talk about the emerging markets. Performance for the MSCI Emerging Markets Index has been nothing short of disappointing so far this year. While many equity indices are down through June 30th, the EM Index has fallen by more than the US-based S&P 500 Index and the Canadian S&P TSX Composite Index. But the downturn didn't start at the beginning of this year, as with the other indices. The EM bear market began in February of 2021, which runs counter to what typically happens in a slower growth and accelerating inflationary environment, as we've had this year. In this type of economic cycle, EM equities tend to outperform. So what's happened? Well, there are a handful of reasons for the underperformance of the emerging markets over the last year and a half. Two of these include U.S. dollar strength and the ongoing challenges in China. First, the U.S. dollar has been quite strong this year against other currencies, which, again, runs opposite of what typically happens in a slower growth economic environment that is facing higher inflation. And the emerging markets themselves are inversely correlated with the U.S. dollar. So when the U.S. dollar is strong, emerging market equity performance tends to be weak. This is because a strengthening dollar draws capital out of the emerging markets, imports inflation, and raises the cost of U.S. dollar-denominated debt, which are each negative for EM companies. And the second situation is that with Asia making up 70% of the emerging market equity index and China itself making up half of that, the Chinese economy casts a long shadow on the prospects for the emerging markets. Recently, there have been four potholes in the Chinese road to prosperity. These are the regulatory crackdown on tech companies, its zero COVID policy, its property market slowdown, and the delisting threat of its companies on U.S. exchanges. However, with each of these, we are starting to see plans for improvement. For example, President Xi Jinping recently spoke to the country's economic goals, remarking that China, quote, will step up macroeconomic policy adjustment and adopt more forceful measures to deliver the economic and social development goals for the whole year and minimize the impact of COVID-19, end quote. With the 20th National Congress approaching in the fall, we may hear of an announcement for significant stimulus plans. If we look at emerging market equity performance over the last 20 years ending June 30th, we see that on an annualized basis, the MSCI EM index in Canadian dollars gained 7.9% per year with reinvesting the dividends. For the S&P TSX composite, the same 20-year period showed a gain of the same 7.9%. So there was really no benefit adding to emerging markets over the last 20 years. And in fact, for the S&P 500, it gained 9.1% on an annualized basis with dividends reinvested. So again, hardly seems worth it by comparison. But when we start to think of the forward prospects, things now look a little different. Back in 2002, the emerging market index was trading at 16.5 times earnings. That compared to the S&P 500 index that was trading at 22.9 times earnings back in 2002. And historically, there is a difference or a discount on emerging market indices for the additional risk that investors are taking. Today, however, the emerging market index is trading at 10.7, and that compares to the S&P 500 at 19. The valuation gap between the emerging markets and the S&P 500 index hasn't been as wide as it currently is since 2002. Valuation and an effort by China to reignite its economy may just be enough to turn the emerging market fortunes around and draw attention again to the potential that this area offers for investors. I'm Philip Peterson, and this has been The Living Market. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate it or share it with colleagues and friends. It will help other like-minded individuals find us. Thanks for listening.
The content of this podcast, including facts, views, opinions, and recommendations, is not to be used or construed as investment advice and is not an offer or an invitation to buy or sell any security. The content of this podcast should not be relied upon for any purpose, and IG Wealth Management is not responsible for any reliance upon it. This podcast includes forward-looking information that reflects our current expectations or forecasts of future events. Forward-looking information is subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause actual results to differ materially from expressed herein. Our views are subject to change based on market conditions. Commissions, fees, and expenses may be associated with mutual fund investments. Read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed, values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated.